RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is Friday, and it is the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Put me out of my misery, Val.
You're not really miserable.
No, I just figured out how to work the coffee machine without Lauren here. I'm actually pretty good.
Oh, Lord.
Now all I have to do is figure out and remember how to set it to start brewing at a certain time the night before. And that could be part of my alarm clock right there.
I
can set it to brew the night. I can set the timer. So if I were tonight, I can set it to start brewing a cup of coffee tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. if I wanted to. And it'll do it on its own. So that's the next thing. Yeah, next thing I have to do now.
Wow, that's really lazy.
Hey, it's going to make mornings in the wintertime more efficient. Sometimes I won't have to leave the house.
Oh, but you can't just make it when you wake up? I mean, what?
I'd rather just wake up and start working.
Okay, fair enough. The 5 minutes for coffee takes out of that work time. Get it?
Yep.
All right. Damn. Hey, listen, so we've got, it has been a crazy week. I am in utter disbelief. I keep saying this, but I feel like I'm in utter disbelief in what we're witnessing happening right now.
Yeah, that hearing yesterday was a travesty. Travesty. To be honest, the guy, what's his name? Who's the Navy SEAL, the DNI? Or what's his name? The director? Who was Adam Schiff trouncing all over yesterday, the witness?
His name...
I feel like it's better not to learn anybody's names at this point because they're going to be gone soon.
His name is, oh my God, McGuire.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. He stood there in the face of all that craziness, and I guess he did an admirable job by the admiral. But he could have done a lot more. I mean, it's one thing to defend policy and protocol and actually put out there what is going on and add context to all of this stuff they're trying to spin about what was suppressed and what was covered up when it was really just could be easily explained by policy and precedent for many years. And there's really nothing to go after there. He's in the middle of a hearing that is specifically designed so that Adam Schiff and his colleagues can actually give context and rewrite what's actually in those innocuous... Yeah, they were rewriting it. It's innocuous transcript.
We're not even going to play it because everybody's heard it already. But he literally invented what Trump said, including the, I'm going to tell you eight times, nonsense.
Well, this is what the way that he shielded himself from that kind of scrutiny, even though he's going to get it anyway. But the way that I guess he shielded himself is by saying this is the essence of what was in that.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
I know, but he used the word essence. So, I mean, what is that?
Oh, screw this guy. He's such a loser. I swear to God. I mean, the man literally was on the phone with people proclaiming to be Russians, taking information about Donald Trump naked somewhere in sexual acts. This is the congressman from California not colluding with a foreign power. He's a disgrace, this man. These people are all disgraceful. All of them disgusting, evil, horrible, disgraceful people who know exactly what they're doing. And it is sickening to watch. It really is.
Well, at least we have a front row seat and we know exactly what people were thinking during those Soviet show trials all those years ago. When you come to trial, you've been accused. You find me the man and I'll find you the crime. You've been accused and you know that the entire thing is a farce. It's a big show. You're going down no matter what. And even your defense attorney is on the side of the government. This is the most upsetting thing to watch because I can't wring that bug-eyed loser's neck.
It's listen, Lord, there's so much to unpack here. So a couple things. We'll start with a little bit of info. The other day, a couple of articles were going around about this treaty that the United States has with Ukraine about cooperating together on corruption and criminal matters as a team, making it legal basically to talk to Ukraine to get information about things going on in the United States and vice versa. And I read the treaty and it's legitimate. And I have an FBI folk person who reached out to me that I have a little relationship with and said in the mid 90s in California, we formed an organized crime squad. And one of the major operations was to arrest this Ukraine dude who stole the treasury. And he had a multi-million dollar home where he was arrested that was somewhere in California. And that morphed into the Clinton agreement to work on joint criminal operations with Ukraine.
Yeah, you know what you're missing here, Tracy, though, is that we have this. I would have to imagine that's a Clinton treaty.
Yes.
We have this treaty here that allows us to root out corruption and crime and anything like that. But you see, that's not what's going on here. There could never be a corrupt Democrat. There could never be a crime. This is all Trump trying to get help in the election to beat half-brained Joe Biden. He needed to talk to Zelensky because he desperately needed help to beat Joe Biden in 2020.
It's really crazy. I think we need to really talk about here because it is so serious at this point.
Yes.
The media, there is a cabal of people in this country working together to destroy everything it stands for. And they will not stop until they're held accountable. And they're working in tandem with the former free press in the country. There are operatives pinned inside the people that talk to you on the television. There are operatives inside of the print organizations. And their only goal is to undermine all that is good in the world and lie straight to your face, whether it means completely fabricating information or it means editing things together to make them look worse than they are, like they did with this transcript, which is just criminal at this point. These people are complicit. They are complicit in this. They need to be held accountable.
Well, the first thing that needs to be done is that we need to go back into the Smith-Mundt Act, and we have to, first of all, root out and destroy this NDAA, and we have to make propaganda
illegal.
Domestically, at least domestic propaganda illegal again.
Yes.
And then you can take them all out by the roots of their hair. And in Brian Stelter's case, by his folds and flaps, whatever the hell is going to be.
It's not going to stop. I mean, you know, they're becoming irrelevant, but they still feel like they wield the power and they do this with reckless abandon and they know they're doing it. I do not believe for one second that Natasha Bertrand doesn't know what she's doing. How did they get all of these people to become so evil? How did they do it, Frank? How did they get all of these people to become so gutless, disgusting, corrupt, and evil? How?
They've been taught this since from a very, very young age. This is the households that they were brought up in. These are the schools that they went to.
No, they're lying.
They don't care. This is about the bigger picture. Tracy, you remember when we were talking about this before? How, you know, you look at a group of people. If you can sit there with a straight face and say that the world can be made perfect, or we can achieve a more perfect version of the world, and you believe that can happen instead of committing yourself to raising better generations of people, teaching them what the responsibilities of living in a free country are and all the different people you have to rub shoulders with and whose rights should not be infringed upon as long as yours, and there's no violence being committed. They are outside of that realm. They are committed to an ideology. They are in bed with a group of moneyed interest as well. Money speaks. This is not just a bunch of priests and priestesses here.
Yeah, how much money? How much money
does
it take for these a-holes to sell their souls so badly? I would never do this. Never. You could not pay me enough to do this.
They think that the reality that they are here to help create is going to be a just one, a better one, and they're going to be remembered for their good work. And they are the Anakin Skywalkers of the media. They want to prevent death itself, but they're going to kill everybody along the way. It's just the way it is.
Not if I have anything to do with it.
Eh, well.
No, for real. Not all well. No, no. It's time, Frank. It's time. Enough of this nonsense. I know you're not going to sit by and watch this shit go unabated. Hell no. Hell no.
Well, no. We don't. Here's the thing I don't know is this. You and I, people like you and I, whether we write it or we speak it, we have outlets. And I've heard it brought up before. Actually, in the last couple of days, I heard Michael Savage say it too. And it's a really great point. What about those people out there who don't have the outlets? You know, I can bring myself to the microphone every night and I can feel pent up rage and I can let it all go and I can articulate it and get it on out there. What about the person who has a 9-to-5 and notices what's going on and they don't have anything? They don't have any outlet.
They have to make an outlet, Frank.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to see what people choose sooner than later because we're getting to a flashpoint.
We sure are. We need to take that energy and make it something good is what we need to do. When I got pissed off, when I started seeing this stuff happening, when I was in my early 20s, I created an outlet because I could not keep my mouth shut about it. There was nothing on God's green earth that was going to stop me. Nothing. And here I am today doing the same thing. I just can't shut. I can't. I cannot. I cannot sit by and watch this happen to my country. I can't. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be. I'm so fed up with it. As a matter of fact, Sean Davis today just tweeted out, like not even after I said what I said, he said, corrupt media didn't care. That the Steele dossier was obviously false. They wanted it to be true, so they pretended it was true. Corrupt media didn't care that the anti-Trump leakers complaint is riddled with errors and gossip. They want it to be true, so they pretend it's true. There is no more objective fact. And Sean Hannity said it last night on his show, too. The objective facts are gone. There's nothing. These people have abandoned objective facts for their fairy tale of what they think should be happening.
It's a means to an end. They see a vision of the world they want to bring us toward. Okay, look no further than the east side of Manhattan at the UN. That's it.
Well, listen, there's more of us than there are of them, sorry to say. I'm telling you, like you said, we're coming to a flashpoint. You're absolutely right.
It's the ninth inning, though, Tracy.
They're angry. People are angry. This isn't happening for no reason, Frank. They're on their last legs. They know their time is very short. I know people keep saying, oh, there's no justice. There is justice coming. I am telling you, there is no other reason for this. If there were no justice coming, they would not be trying to do this to this president. They wouldn't.
Let me ask you something. I was trying to figure out for the last couple of days now whether or not this really was an op, whether or not this was another barium meal. The fact that this Ulrich guy was not on the telephone call, but whose name is in the complaint, makes me feel like this is almost as if that whole situation that we saw with the FISA applications being flushed through the Senate Intelligence Committee with Ali Watkins. We found the FISA date was changed and we now knew who was the one that was able to leak it. Mm-hmm. Number one, was this Ulrich guy, his name, as opposed to the FISA date, was the Ulrich guy's name the barium meal? Number two, this CIA whistleblower. I mean, how the hell is this guy even involved in any of this stuff?
He was at the White House, stationed at the White House. And if you think about what has happened over the past several years with these corrupt, disgusting intelligence agencies that feel like they run the country unelected as bureaucrats, have placed spies in different locations, in different positions, like the FBI did with what's his name that was supposed to be the who was supposed to look over the computer systems or whatever. Oh, gosh, I'm forgetting his name. But they've done this before. So he was in there. He got booted out. There's rumors floating around. I have not been able to corroborate at all that Bolton is behind this somehow. But what I think happened here, Frank, because I went back and forth with it, just like, you know, you, there was a Barry and Meal. There is absolutely no doubt about that, because whoever the leaker who told this whistleblower, who is also a leaker, this is a glorified leak underneath a fake whistleblower complaint that didn't even follow the right guidelines.
That's the thing I'm also trying to figure out. And, you know, speaking of Sean Davis and speaking of Bolton and all that other stuff, I think that what Mark Levin laid out in his show last night was pretty interesting. He brought it squarely onto the shoulders of Adam Schiff.
Yeah, he's had it. I did a piece, Frank, where I broke down when this first started getting reported in the media. And it just didn't pick up the steam that they hoped it would. Remember we talked about that?
Yeah.
It started getting reported in the media in early August. And Schiff even tweeted something about it. You saw that.
Yeah.
And I'm just happy that Mark Levin woke up soon, like quickly, rapidly, to what was happening here in the very beginning. Because he was anti-Trump as they come, remember?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm fired up today, Frank.
He was. And last night's episode was great. I listened to it whenever things like this happen. You know, I don't have a lot of time to actually listen to radio shows and podcasts as much as I do. I try to get in, you know, interesting off the radar kind of listening on the weekend, paranormal stuff, just try to I want to wonder a little bit. Yeah. But during the week when things like this happen, I'm usually so busy writing, I don't listen to all the shows I used to listen to anymore. But I do know which tools to take out of the box whenever I need to listen to professionals get at it. And I would suggest everybody listen to Levin last night, that's for sure.
He went nuts on Hannity. Great.
Yeah,
clip.
I didn't see that.
I mean, it was great. It was everything that I was thinking.
The whistleblower, this is something that you had pointed out. A few of our friends had pointed out, and I was even thinking to myself too. Off the bat, this whole thing made no sense to me, because if what was in this transcript, if what was on this telephone call was so damning and so harmful to national security, why the hell would sources with knowledge of the call go and find somebody who is a second or tertiary source at that point to go out there and spread the word for them and to be able to put it into a complaint that mischaracterizes the entire call?
Yeah, but think about, and also to your point, think about who had, like, whoever leaked it had to have known who was sitting around them.
So that's this is the sloppiness that I don't understand.
They shouldn't have been there. That's exactly.
Why the hell are you passing this along if it really was something that was actionable, that you believe that you should have gone through the proper channels and would have been taken up in a serious way? Why the hell are you this is almost like sneaking out the whole shithole country's comment.
Yeah, except this way they made it official, in quotes. Well, I said yesterday, you know, they need to stop calling this a whistleblower complaint and stop calling this person a whistleblower and tell it like it is. It's a glorified illegal leak, and the leaker is abusing the whistleblower protections to get away with it.
Is this a Brennan guy?
Yes. Yes, it is. And so I said, Brennan said the whistleblower should be commended. And I'm like, oh, yeah, well, why aren't you commending Dennis Montgomery then? Where's your commendation for that whistleblower who filed 24 separate whistleblower complaints? Where's your commendation for him?
Hey, well, since we have to commend whistleblowers who didn't go through the proper channels, I think whenever we get to the bottom of who leaked all of the emails from the DNC, they should be applauded too, because after all, everything in those emails was true. I know that whenever that came out, the first thing that Democrat media, liberal media actually said was not, you know, oh my God, is this for real? Is this kind of corruption? Of course, they wouldn't say that because they were part of the corruption. But what did they first say? How did you get this?
Yeah. And
that's what they said when the DNC leaks came out. How did you get this?
How did you get your hands on this? Remember, it's illegal for you to read this stuff Frito yeah. says. Hey, listen, Frank, that is at the root of all of this. We've yep. talked about it a gazillion times. The DNC email leak, as well as the John Podesta email leak, is at the root of all of this. And Ukraine figures strongly into it, which is why yesterday, who I thought was one of the only unbiased BuzzFeed reporters left, tweeted out an article about how, because Donald Trump quoted or talked about CrowdStrike with the prime minister of the Ukraine or the president, whatever, because of that, he's a conspiracy theorist who follows Q and 4chan and 8chan. This is how you know these people are screwed. There was no Russian hack of the DNC email server, people. This is why the government is fighting Roger Stone and wanting to get this evidence into his case. This is why the corrupt judge in DC who has this case is doing what they're doing to him right now in terms of barring. Everything hinges on these servers. CrowdStrike were the only ones to look at the servers. CrowdStrike was working with Newland, the Atlantic Council, and Chalupa, and what's his name, Pinchuk, who was the funding source there, who was deep ties in Ukraine. All of this ties back to these servers, and Donald Trump knows the truth.
And you hit it right on the head again, because it really is just what that's all about. You look at that CNN or MSNBC, all the people who have coalesced around the edited version of this innocuous transcript to actually make it look even a slight hair more controversial than it was, to remove almost 600 words and paste things together, Frankenstein this thing together, so that you can try to make an appeal to the public. Because this is all about, Tracy, it's not about actually having a successful run at impeachment. It's about suppressing Donald Trump's vote outcome by at least 3 to 4% to give them a little bit of a handicap, because they know how badly they are screwed. And if it weren't for all of their meddling in social media and the brainwashing through Google, if it weren't for Google, they would have even lost. You think that the Senate majority was the only thing that would have grown in 2018? No way. The House majority would have grown in 2018 for the Republicans if it weren't for Google and all of their people on the ground harvesting ballots. They know exactly what they're doing here. And the biggest reason why they're Frankensteining together this completely innocent, innocuous transcript is because what was the thing that was left out in that Frankensteining? CrowdStrike.
Yeah. Well,
two syllables. They don't want anybody even looking into why he would be looking into and asking about CrowdStrike again. What does this mean? Well, you know, and even right there, you want to talk about commending a whistleblower when you know it's completely hypocritical. Why the hell are you going to come down on Donald Trump for asking about CrowdStrike and anything else that actually has to do with the 2016 interference of the election that everybody was so concerned about for the last 3 years?
Wouldn't
you want to see this?
No, wouldn't you want? Yes, and the hypocrites they are, they've done exactly what they're accusing Donald Trump of. We know that the four senators that sent the letter literally saying that if they don't cooperate in the fake-ass Mueller probe, that they're going to withhold aid from Ukraine. They did this. They did this. Mm. And they do not want an actual impeachment. Do you want to know why? Because when they get in front of the Senate, guess what happens? Donald Trump gets to defend himself. Oh my gosh. Can you believe? Can you imagine? Can you imagine what would happen if imagine what would come out. Imagine what he would do. I lost Frank.
And Dilly brought
hold
up
on,
a really...
On. We got what? Screwed. Now it's recording.
Okay, so you start.
I say, can you imagine what he would do in that room? And you said, oh, I can imagine, but I don't think it would be the ideal.
Yeah, I mean, Brendan Dilley brought up a good point last night. We were part of a round table on Patriot Soapbox, and he did bring up a good point about impeachment, because somebody had asked, what if this is exactly what the president wants? And I don't believe that this is something that the president is working toward, I do believe that if this is the path that he is led, that there is a contingency plan for everything.
Yep.
So, I don't think that anybody wants to cap off their first term, which has already been consumed by this nonsense, with an impeachment trial. Tracy, the level of scorched earth in term two, the level of scorched earth when there is nothing holding him back needs to be apocalyptic.
Yeah. He needs to blow it all up and burn it all down.
God, it's got to be apocalyptic.
He has to set fire to it all. All the corrupt garbage needs to burn and incinerate. It needs to happen. I know. I agree with you. Are you there?
Oh, I'm here.
All right. Sorry about that, guys, in there. We're going to leave it in because it's a pain in the neck to edit out, but I lost my internet connection for some reason. It's really annoying today, Frank, because we're having a ton of freaking technical issues, and it's really annoying. So we were about to play this clip from Homan yesterday at the Department of Homeland Security, and of course, you had said something absolutely brilliant, which did not get captured.
Well, I don't even know what I said anymore, but that's just the way I operate at this point. I'm a vessel. I'm a mere a conduit, Tracy.
It goes through you like a lightning
rod. I don't
know
where it comes from. I don't think it's divine or anything like that, but I'm a conduit for something.
You were saying how Jayapal is getting off on this communist.
Oh, yeah. She's just your average. She's your typical commie woman. She gets off on the authority. She has her gavel. She has her little gremlin face. It's just so typical. This is the world that has been created by all this intersectionality nonsense, where you have a person who really believes their own hype. They're sitting in a seat so temporarily because of their party's disingenuous way of conducting themselves in this country.
Yeah, it's, by money. They sell those chairmanships off. You know that? Did you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, I can imagine. And as far as she goes, I mean, she kissed the ring. I mean, I don't think that this woman has any money particularly. I think that she just kneeled and kissed the ring, and she promised to be the greatest actress, the strong woman with the gremlin face that everybody can go and go, wow, she really controls her shit. Wow, she's really great. Wow, look at swing that gavel. Whoa, oh yeah, you go, girl, go. That's what this all is. She's not doing anything, not saying anything. It's a big you go, girl moment. That's what governance is now. You go, girl.
Governance is not even like these committee hearings and stuff. This guy, let's just play it. Let's just freaking play it the right way.
People, half of what was removed last year, there was no hearings on that. So I, you know, this is about transparency. Let's be factual about it.
The time of the gentleman has expired. Since you did address some comments at me, I'll just say that I didn't like it under the Obama administration either. In fact,
but be honest with the American people, you can't point out faults in the Trump administration.
I'm going to slam my gavel, Frank. I'm going to slam it.
How dare you speak in front of me? I have a gremlin face
and a gavel.
It's going to happen under Obama administration. That's dishonesty. It's pathetic and it's sad.
Mr. Homan, I control the time, and I am the chairwoman of the committee.
Thank you. Oh, good for you.
Ooh.
Ooh. She, ooh.
You hear the people clapping when he was going at her in the background?
Oh, God. Ugh.
Here we go. Off we go.
Thank you for respecting that. I didn't like it under the Obama administration, and I'll remind you, Mr. Homan, that you also testified before Congress in support of the Obama's priorities enforcement program before the Senate Judiciary Committee on May 19th, 2016, which had a very different approach.
Well, can I respond to that?
No.
Of course not.
But I want to give you some time, but I do want to ask one quick question, and I want to make one quick statement. I find it very offensive that anybody would compare any federal employee, frankly, to someone who the Gestapo or running Nazi concentration camps. That is very offensive. I have 15 seconds and I yield to you.
Thank you for saying that. I wish somebody in Democratic leadership would say that out loud. Look, you want to know why there's 50,000 people in detention? You want to know why we have 1 million illegal entries in the United States? You want to know why we have these issues? Because you have failed to secure the border. You have failed to work with this president to close the three loopholes we've asked for 2 years to close. So if you want to know why this issue exists, you need to look in the mirror. You have failed American people who are not securing the border and closing the loopholes.
Mr. Homan, please respect the chair and the authority of the chair. The time of the gentleman has expired.
I've asked you politely to let me go beyond my time. You let other people go beyond their time, but not to Tom Homan. He don't get me.
This is like a little kid who has been given their first sip of wine and they think that they're an adult. This is like a little child who was given a Dixie cup full of wine at Thanksgiving and they think that they're an adult.
She's getting very angry, Frank, when he refuses to acquiesce to her demands.
Oh my God, but how dare he keep talking when she's a strong woman with a gavel?
She has a gavel. She has a gavel, Frank. A gavel. I hit the gavel. You need to listen. Hold on.
Go beyond this time.
Mr. Homan, we have approved an agreement between the Republicans and the Democrats with the ranking member. We increased the time of one member of Congress who was interrupted by a protest. That is done with the approval of the ranking member. Please respect the chair's authority. The gentleman,
I respect the chair's authority, but the chair...
Mr. Homan!
You work for me. I'm a taxpayer.
There you go.
You work for me. I'm a taxpayer. Damn right.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Damn right. Damn right. And then there was this, Frank. And then there was this. This is what the left has to hold up in the 2020 election. This is great. This is just great. It is a split screen of Elizabeth Warren and I don't know who sitting next to. I don't know if you've seen this, but I'm going to play it because it's worth listening to. Are you ready for this? Are you ready?
I guess.
Oh.
Hello,
Jonathan. It's Elizabeth Warren.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm having such a crazy day.
I know, but I wanted to give you a call just to say thank you. I'm glad we're going to be in this fight together, side by side. I love the endorsement, and for all the right reasons.
Thank you so much. Well, you know, I have to tell you, what I realized, it was when, it was at the last debate, and I was like, this health insurance industry is a f***ing racket.
It felt right.
It did.
And that's why we got to do it, because it is right. Healthcare is a basic human right, and we fight for basic human rights, not just for some of us, for all of us.
I'm so excited to be shoulder to shoulder with you, too. I can't believe you called.
We're gonna do this.
Let me know if it can be a service. I really want to help.
We're gonna do it together. You be strong.
Warren, go save America. We gotta go. And also, too, like, we also really gotta get that Mitch out of there because regardless of what, I mean, Mitch McConnell, he's the worst. So we gotta take the Senate. We're gonna take Congress back. Well, we already have Congress. We gotta take
Let's
Senate
do it
back. And then we gotta get.
What the shit did I just listen to?
Oh my God. This is supposedly an impromptu call that Elizabeth Warren made to a gentleman wearing a purple sweater somewhere in the next office.
Oh. Oh, boy. That was inspiring. I don't know about you, but I am a believer. Warren 2020.
Oh, boy. This is our competition. I just don't know how we're going to do it, Frank.
No, Tracy, I mean, after hearing that, is it any wonder why President Trump had to withhold hundreds of millions of dollars of military aid to help acquire help from Ukraine to take out his opponents?
Wait. You mean Hillary Clinton? You mean Barack Obama? Sorry.
Yeah. Is it any wonder after that little clip as to why President Trump needs the help from Ukraine to beat his opponents, even though he's in a better position now than he was in 2016.
I'm really honestly very worried about Elizabeth Warren, Frank, and that man right there, that guy she's got with her, the two of them together. It's going to be tough.
It's going to be great. They're going to turn the entire country into a Burger King ball pit. Why do anything when you can spend your days jumping into a pool of balls?
Sorry, I would hit pause, but I'm afraid we won't get it back. Wee!
That's it.
Okay. Okay. Oh, now that we had a little laugh, it's time to get serious again. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. Okay. John Solomon, one of the only honest reporters left. Do you want to name some honest reporters? Who do you think are honest reporters, Frank, that you you read or listen to?
Oh, Maggie Haberman. Mm-hmm. but Hemingway, Maggie Hemingway, Molly Hemingway.
Yeah.
Now that I have to think about all of them, they're all gone.
All right. So I'll name a couple of mine. Catherine Herridge.
Okay.
John Solomon.
Yeah.
Cheryl Atkinson.
I pay attention to Sarah Carter.
Jeff from Markets Work, or Jeff from Epoch Times. Jan from Epoch Times. Brian. Well, he's more of a commentary guy. But there's a few, and they're all from just a few outlets.
Well, I like listening to... You're talking about outlets. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You can listen to anyone. Who?
Margot Cleveland.
Yep, she's with The Federalist.
Yeah, Margot Cleveland is good. Let's see. Who the hell else? I don't know. There's a lot of different types of people out there. I like the stuff that Richard Barris does, obviously.
Yep.
Oh, God.
And then there's the
Byron York.
He's good.
You said Brian Cates?
I said Brian.
Everybody? Yeah. So, I mean, there's just a lot of stuff like that out there. I like...
Comparatively, it's few.
Well, you know, the big reason why I'm trying to put this stuff in together in my head is because I'm trying to think about people who are actually with outlets that have, you know, have organized themselves. Aside from that, we know that there are countless people who just work on their own behalf on their Twitter accounts, their blogs, their vlogging.
Organized very soon.
Oh yeah, if you want to get into citizen journalism, then we can knock that
out. No. We take the word citizen right off. They're journalists, all right.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And they're you know, I've got
and a lot of those people are still pretty anonymous. I only know them by their screen names, like Undercover Huber,
mm-hmm.
and Technofog, HNI John Miller, so many. There's just so many. Corey Lynn, Corey's Diggs. I love all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So
John Solomon, one of the last reporters. There's not very many compared to the rest of the we have to deal with. He has documents. This is how real reporting is done when you care about a story. You put the documents up for everybody to read on their own. You don't hide behind three levels of sources who have knowledge of the matter but declined to comment or declined to be named because of the sensitivity of it. All that noise. You do this, Frank. This is what you do.
President, Vice President, he was an individual. And acting as an individual, like the individual interested in having me removed and gone so I didn't interfere with the Burisma investigation. That was an ABC direct quote.
That's exactly right. 100%.
So what did Shokin say to you?
Shokin said to me, listen, when I was fired...
Shokin, just to tell everybody, I got to move. Shokin is the prosecutor who was fired in Ukraine. Shokin is the guy that Biden had fired. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm making myself deaf here. Here we go.
I was told the reason I was being fired was that Joe Biden was unhappy. He had been asking for my resignation for months. And every time they asked for my resignation, they couldn't offer any reason. They didn't offer any proof that I was corrupt. They didn't offer any proof that I was inept. But they just kept asking for it. And when I got fired, I was finally told, you should have stopped investigating Burisma. That's what made Joe Biden mad and why we had to fire you, because we couldn't bankrupt the country. That's what he said in the interview. And that's exactly what he says under oath in this new court filing.
This is a sworn affidavit from the prosecutor fired. I'm just trying to keep everybody in the loop. Go ahead.
That's right. This is a brand new document that will be divulging tonight in the story. And this is a very important document. He says, I was fired because I refused to drop a far-reaching, wide-ranging corruption probe involving Burisma Holdings and its American members, including Hunter Biden. That's what he says. I was fired for that reason. There's no equivocation, no doubt, no, I think I was fired. He says it flat out, and he describes why. He had been criticized about that, and that this was a political act not an act of accountability. This wasn't a just firing. It was to solve a political problem that Ukraine had. Now, what's interesting about that, Shokin's swearing that out in a statement, is that that's exactly what Shokin's other colleagues, including some who came into the office long after Biden had effectuated the firing and who began to look at the case file saying, whoa, this doesn't look right. And they became so concerned that they hired an American lawyer, a former U.S. attorney from the United States, and they reached out to the Justice Department last fall, and they said, hey, Justice Department, we're not talking about crimes against Ukrainian law. We think there might be some criminality against American law. You should look at this. Would you like our evidence? We'll come on over and deliver our evidence. And the Justice Department sat silent, did not answer.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And wow.
That document is available for anybody to read, along with several others.
You want to talk about quid pro quo.
Ah, yeah.
You want to talk about what was going on. So for the president just to make inquiry into past investigations, that where the hell did they go? Why did those stop? He wasn't asking for a new one. He was saying, you know, just being inquisitive about where the hell these all went, what was going on, and asking about CrowdStrike, asking about a mysterious server. Just you know, leaders, duly elected leaders having a conversation with each other. But of course, it was a conversation that would go open up a rat hole that people have been trying to plug for a long time here, as you can see. And to hear that one line there talking about how we need to this needs to go away, and the reason why it needs to go away, and to say that whether or not Ukraine becomes bankrupt as a country depends on it, because they depend on our money
and
so much.
That's true.
Wow.
Billions of dollars.
Wow.
In
you
aid.
Want to talk about quid pro quo? You want to talk about blackmail? You better drop this prosecution or we're going to bankrupt
your
country.
Entire country.
It's not even just we have some aid. We have a nice little care package that you have gotten used to having. And I know that you really like this stuff. I know you like the missiles that we send over. No, we're going to bankrupt your entire nation. Wow.
Yeah, but Trump is the bad. Trump should be impeached, Frank.
Yes.
I mean, Trump legitimately, I don't even know how he's still sitting in the Oval Office. That bastard. How dare he? How dare he shit all over our Constitution?
Wow, that's something else, man. That's something else.
I don't know. I'm wondering where the New York Times is. Where's the New York Times? Where's the New York Times and the Washington Post talking about this story now? Where are they, Frank?
I don't know. They're probably editing the Bible or something.
They're adding sis to the dictionary.
Yes. Sis.
They're writing the word sis.
Ugh.
I have something else.
Wow, man.
Here. One more.
Reason is very emerges from the corruption of how they've tried to hide this for years, including trying to cover up Biden for years. I got this because the FBI wouldn't take it. For the Ukrainians who came to me back in November of 2018 and then subsequently have told this to five other people who could testify to it, told me that we've been trying to get to you for over a year, year and a half. We have solid evidence of collusion, not Russian, Ukrainian, not with Trump, with Hillary and the DNC.
I gotta say, believe, real quick, Laura Ingraham is writing with a marker as he's talking. Can you hear that?
Yes.
It's so rude. Off we go.
George Soros is behind it because his company was involved in it. By the way, when Biden's son's case was dismissed, the other case the crooked new prosecutor had to dismiss was Soros' case, which is why the Biden thing is relevant to me, because Biden's corruption, Biden's compromising the president of the Ukraine led to the dismissal of the case against Soros' organization. Had that case gone on, we would have had the evidence to refute the Mueller investigation on day one.
There it is. There it is, right there. We would have had the evidence to refute the Mueller investigation on day one.
Mm.
She talks over him a bunch at the very end here. There's about 6 or 7 more seconds where he's going nuts. And if you just let Rudy Giuliani talk and just don't say anything, you will get the most glorious information dump you could ever possibly imagine. Glorious. I would do anything to have an interview with Giuliani right now.
Man, it makes me miss the 90s.
Why?
You know, it's just, things were different over here. The 90s were the last gasp of real New York flavor.
Real
New York. Well, he was a part of it, but just real New York badassery.
We still had to be in New York then.
We still had a lot of our old spirit. We had a lot of our own swagger.
You
have no clue. I mean, I know you dip into town every once in a while now, but it really is like just a
dead.
It is a sterilized shopping mall, but it's still dirty.
Yep.
It's weird. It's very weird.
No, I was just there. I know. It's everywhere. It's gross. It's void. One of the things that, well, before we end, one of the things, Frank, that I always took with me when I was 16 years old, I was in a competition for singing. It was like a vocal Olympics thing, and I had to go over to LA. And I flew over to LA with my mom, who came with me. And we got off the plane and we were in Los Angeles. And I said, this city is soulless. It's dead. You don't feel that energy, that buzz like you do in New York. When you get off the train and you step into New York City, no matter what time it is of the day, you feel this, or you used to feel this energy, this excitement, this buzz. It is gone. What is left in its wake is a soulless, empty, smoldering little hole. And energy wise, anyway, you feel it's dead. It's vapid. It's.
Hey, it's like the stage at every Democrat debate.
Oh my God.
It's just there. You can tell that it took some time to put it all together, but there is just there's no real flair there anymore. No, you know, on those debate stages, no American flags. They don't want to help anybody. You can see rainbow flags everywhere.
Yeah.
Red, white, and blue, that you might be crossing the line. Some people might get triggered. But I don't know.
Another clip today to play from a congressperson who was in, they were voting on a bill for health insurance for illegals. And they added an amendment to require that the same health insurance is provided for veterans. And they voted it down. And he gets angry. Where is it? Let's end with this. I don't have the clip. I can't find it, but I wanted to read this. Did you see the thread from Fred Flights, who is the former CIA official who wrote about how this complaint wasn't normal, this whistleblower complaint?
No.
Oh, good. So this is something that you'll probably want to use, Frank, on your...
Was this a New York Times article?
It was a New York Post article. I think it's Post. The same guy, but he says more in his thread than he does in the article, and I'm going to find it. I put an alert. Mini AOC is back, by the way.
I heard. Good for her.
Yeah. You know, now the kids are off limits again.
Kids are off limits, yes.
Come on, where the heck did this thing go? Huh, maybe not. Maybe not, Frank. Maybe not. Oh, here it is. Yeah. He says, as a former CIA analyst and former NSC official who edited transcripts of POTUS phone calls with foreign leaders, here are my thoughts on the whistleblower complaint, which was just released. This is not an intelligence matter. It's a policy matter and a complaint about differences over policy. Presidential phone calls are not an intelligence concern. The fact that IC officers transcribe these calls doesn't give the ICIG jurisdiction over them. It appears that rules restricting access and knowledge of these sensitive calls were breached. This official was not on the call, not approved on the dissemination list, and shouldn't have been briefed about the call. The way this complaint was written suggested the author had a lot of help. I know from my work on the House Intel Committee staff that many whistleblowers go directly to the Intel Oversight Committees. Did this whistleblower first meet with the House Intel Committee members? It is therefore important to find out where this complaint came from. What did House and Senate Intel Committee Dem members and staff know about it, and when did they help to orchestrate the complaint? My view is that this whistleblower complaint is too convenient and too perfect to come from a typical whistleblower. Were other IC officers involved? Were outside groups opposed to the president involved? This complaint will further damage IC relations with the White House for many years to come because IC officers appear to be politicizing presidential phone calls with foreign officials and their access to the president and his activities in the White House. Worst of all, this IC officer and probably others have blatantly crossed the line into policy. This violates a core responsibility of IC officers, which is to inform but not make policy. This is such a grievous violation of trust between the IC and the White House that it would not surprise me if IC officers are barred from all access to POTUS's phone calls with foreign officials.
Yeah, the American intelligence should be moved right back into the arms of the military. Let them gather whatever kind of intelligence they want, put it into the military, take it out of the just take it all out. They need to be shut all down. And as far as law enforcement and everybody else goes, send it back to the states.
Yep.
This all has to go away. This all you want. You want to create a an internal review system or an internal an investigative bureau or something like that in any of your states out there and work in cooperation with your neighbors and all that. Do it. Share information. Get the bad guys. Do good police work. Go ahead. This federal intelligence entire apparatus needs to be shattered.
The wind. And
these are the same people who killed Kennedy. Don't you understand?
Yeah, I do. And you know what we read the other day about what I read the other day, the Kennedy-esque line about secret groups operating in secret that President Trump said at the UN. The exact opposite of Obama and Bush and their New World Order BS that everybody pretended was some big damn conspiracy for decades. He said the exact opposite. He said there are people working in secret to undermine the sovereignty of the United States of America. And he's still here. God bless him.
Well, it's because of the age that we're in. I'm telling you, they're attempting right now every day a different kind of assassination. Every day. Because it would be near impossible. It'd be near impossible to really pull off what they wish they could have done.
They would immediate civil war. Immediate. They would be destroyed.
Civil war, and it'd be impossible to cover up the origins of the plot and who was behind it.
Yeah,
it would be impossible at this point.
Yep.
There are 10,000 Abraham Zapruders in every square mile now with their cell phones and everything else. It would be impossible. This is why every day they try for the death by 1,000 cuts.
It's not working. It's not. You have been listening to the fiery Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Put Me Out of My Misery, Val.
And me, Beans. Are you out of your misery yet?
Yeah, I'm all right. Now I have to write the show for tonight.
Well, enjoy. It's Friday. You can have a nice, easy show. Don't forget, guys, go to American Priority and buy your ticket for the conference. Use the code BEANS. There's a lot of surprises coming up at this thing. I'm telling you, I'm not overselling it. You guys need to get there if you can. I know, Frank, you're not going, but everyone else needs to go.
Yeah, I know I'm not going, but I heard one thing that might be happening.
You did?
I remember. Didn't you give me a preview of something that you're going to be doing?
I did, and I'm not saying anything yet.
Oh, God.
You're
everybody
holding that in.
if you were thinking about going, if you're in a position to go, I would suggest you go.
Teaser! Sorry. Thanks, Frank. You guys can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, and on our amazing... what is it? Platform, I guess you could call it. RadioInfluence.com. Thank you guys so much.
Hey gang, Jerry P. Tuck here, co-host of A Place for My Head. Each week, Brandon Thompson and I are going to be talking about the importance of mental health. We're going to be talking everything from stress, anxiety, different mental illnesses, different chronic illnesses, and frankly, the rigors of everyday life and how we all struggle to get through it. We're not medical professionals, but we are looking to start that conversation that needs to be had about the stigma around mental illness and how it affects us every single day. We'll talk to experts, but at the end of the day, A Place for My Head is all about real people with real stories about real life. Check out A Place for My Head with Brandon Thompson and myself, Jerry P. Tuck, each week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.